T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Afternoons on the Score.
You can tell how professional this event is by them having me here. We are backstage at Jake Paul's dressing room, or locker room, if you want to call it that. And, you know, today's a really wild day for boxing because it just shows, you know, how low it's truly sunk. I think today proves the fact that if you have enough followers, you can truly do whatever you want. I mean, maybe PewDiePie will cure cancer and Charlie D'Amelio will become a surgeon. Who knows? Tonight, we have a bout between Ben Askren, who I don't know who that is still, and I've been reading up on him all week, and Jake Paul. They both suck, but, you know, at least somebody's going to get hurt. Now, back to you guys in the booth. Some real announcers over there.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Hey, I felt so old because I didn't know about this, and that was Pete Davidson doing a hilarious commentary on the Ben Askren, Jake Paul, whatever the hell you want to call that thing, Saturday night. Over 2 million people paid real American dollars to watch that fight on pay-per-view. And I saw the clip at the end of it. Ben Askren is a UFC fighter, not a boxer. Jake Paul, YouTube star, considers himself a bit of a boxer. He was the guy who knocked out Nate Robinson. He hits Askren like once, and then it was over. Askren's a tough SOB. Like, he might not be a boxer, but he can withstand more hits than that. And
oh, interesting. So you think something fishy might be going on in that way in terms of an old fixola?
Listen, I am very uneducated on whatever the hell that was that happened Saturday night.
Yeah.
But that's never stopped me before. I am a sports talk radio host. But dude, Ben Askren might not be a boxer. He might have just had surgery. He's tougher than that. He could have lasted longer than that if he wanted to. He was there for a payday, and that whole thing, like, even by boxing standards, that whole thing seemed like a charade.
See, interesting. What I have found to be the most interesting part of it is that the great Kendall Gill, who I enjoy so much on Bulls Pre and Post, is a boxer of note, is a excellent athlete and a dude who started boxing for conditioning. And we've talked about boxing before in the past, he and I, because I tried it for a little while, but he's a real athlete, legit. And he wants a piece of Jake Paul and has been going after him, trying to get it. And Jake Paul is ducking Kendall Gill. So something insane is going on, and we need to help Kendall to get this fight.
All
happening.
Right, Kendall, Danny, you have a 50,000-watt blowtorch now behind you.
All yours.
Call him out. What the hell was that Saturday night? What should be next?
Well, you know, listen, I can't knock Jake Paul's hustle. He's managed to turn a YouTube career into a three-fight boxing career where he's getting to where he's made $76 million Saturday night for Triller. You know, that's top pro. That's like Manny Pacquiao money. That's like Floyd Mayweather type money that he generated in his pay-per-view. But I think that and I give him respect for, you know, honing his boxing skills and everything like that. But the one thing that he has to do next, he has to fight a guy that has some boxing skills in the ring. You look at his last three fights, Anderson Gibb, Nate Robinson, now Ben Askren. None of those guys know how to fight. None of those guys have any skills in the ring. And, you know, Jake Paul, the way that he acts, you think he's the heavyweight champion of the world. and he's beat up three guys that really don't have any skill set in the ring. When he knocked out Nate Robinson, I actually called him out and wanted to fight him April 17th on this past Saturday. But he and his team decided to ignore the call out. And, you know, I talked to his trainer. And I DM his trainer all of, you know, my post about boxing and things like this. And, you know, they gave me the excuse of, well, you don't have enough following. I was like, okay, wait. So I called Shaq. I said, Shaq, this is the deal. I want you to go on and say and challenge Jake Paul for me. That's what Shaq did. Ooh. Okay. And they saw
How many followers does Shaq have, Kendall?
Shaq
That's a good
19,
one.
Shaq has 19 million followers, 4 or 5 million more than Jake Paul.
I wonder if that's enough of a following for Jake Paul's manager.
I wonder. And also, Shaq is the biggest pitch man in America. You look, turn on television, you're going to see a commercial of Shaq, right? Yeah. So when Shaq talks, everybody listens. But they decided to ignore it. The reason why they ignore it is this. They want to keep this circus going for as long as they can, fight guys that are smaller than him, fight guys that are less experienced than him, and get the pay-per-view numbers that they got. Like I said, you know, they've done a wonderful job of pulling the wool over people's eyes and getting rich at the same time.
What would happen if you stepped into a ring with Jake Paul?
It would be over. You know, first of all, what Jake Paul, this is his formula. He wants to fight guys that are smaller than him. He's naturally about 210 pounds. They say he's 6'1", but he's really not. You look at him at all of his press conference, he's wearing Timberlands, which put 2 inches on your height. So he's really about 5'11". So they want to fight guys like that. They don't want to fight guys with experience in the ring. You know, and I like I told you, I've been in contact with his trainer going back and forth. And they said, well, you're 50. He says, you're 54 years old. I'm like, listen, dude, I'm 52. I'm not 54. He's like, and they think, but, you know, boxing is my lifestyle, guys. You guys know that. I've been boxing since I was a kid, you know, and boxing is my first love. I love boxing more than I love basketball. And the thing about it is I train still. I'm still in the gym 3 days a week. You know, staying sharp and everything, just in case they decide that they want to agree to a fight with me. If they do, you know, it'll be great. You know, and they'll be at a big disadvantage. That's why they don't want to do it, guys. And I understand it. You know, because if I were Jake Paul, I wouldn't want to face somebody like me with experience either.
Yeah, well, it sounds like, you know, when a boxer's on the way up and they just keep fighting tomato cans until they get that real big money shot, you know, they just want to keep the gravy train going, and you can't have a loss getting in there in the way. Kendall, you have fought how many times before? I know you fought at least 4 times between 2005, 2010, and you had 3 knockouts in those 4 right. fights. So when you say you're going to knock them out, you have knocked people out in the ring in a sanctioned fight before.
Yeah, 3 of them. But, you know, the thing is, I don't go for a knockout. You know, I'm taught by Nate Jones, who's Floyd Mayweather's assistant trainer. I'm taught by Sam Colonna, who's one of the best trainers in Chicago, Mike Fly Garcia, and all these guys. So I'm taught the sport from the bottom up. You know, I have boxing IQ. I have defense. I have all this stuff. And, you know, another thing about you know, the telecast the other day, I really didn't. Actually, I had to turn it off, and then I watched it the following morning because it was cringeworthy. You know, I saw Hall of Fame announcers Al Bernstein, Ray Flores, who's from Chicago also, top-notch announcers having to deal with these clowns in the broadcast booth making, in my opinion, you know, a mockery of the sport of boxing. You know, I know guys that have gotten in that ring and lost their lives. You know, I was at the fight here in Chicago a couple years back when Patrick Day lost his life. So I don't appreciate the Snoop Dogg comments, the Pete Jacobson comments, making light of this situation. Those guys put their lives on the line when they go in there, so it should be taken seriously.
Well, that's the thing, and we're talking to Kendall Gill here. So that's why he'll never fight you, or he'll never fight anybody, right? Like, because it Kendall it. blew my mind when I saw that he claimed that that fight generated $65 million worth of revenue and that they paid for all of those people to be there and that they got over 2 million pay-per-view orders. Like, that is real money. So Jake Paul, right, is a YouTube star. So, like, his fans just want to see him fight and win. Like, he could fight me. He doesn't need the other person to be legitimate, right? The whole thing is an exhibition. It's not like he's trying to be Manny Pacquiao or Floyd Mayweather or the welterweight champion of the world. Like, he's literally just trying to put on exhibitions for money, correct? Like, there is no integrity in this game that he's playing.
Well, no, I don't think there's any integrity, but I do give him credit for putting in the work. He does put in the work. But when you put in the work, you eventually have to face a challenge. And, you know, I know he's been trying to fight Conor McGregor, another guy that's smaller than him, so that he can have an advantage weight-wise and power-wise. But eventually he's going to have to face somebody, because I can't see the public continuing to pay money for, like you just said, exhibition.
Wait, Conor McGregor would kick Jake Paul's ass, correct?
He would. Yeah, I believe he would.
Okay.
But, you know, if Jake continues to get better, you know, and continues to train, he may have a chance weight-wise, because, like I said before, Jake sweats down from 210 pounds to get down to, like, 190, 189. And then he rehydrates during a fight night. He's back up to 210. So he has a huge weight advantage. That's how he knocked Nate Robinson out.
Well, see, you mentioned Nate. Obviously, you are motivated by defending the integrity of boxing, and we hear that.
Right.
How much of your motivation also, Kendall, is because Nate had that awful night when that video is circulated? And how much of this is NBA community wanting to rise up and defend the honor of Nate Robinson?
You wouldn't believe how many DMs I got from all of the players around the league asking me to challenge Jake Paul. Because of the Nate Robinson fight. You know, I got a lot of DMs from a lot of significant NBA players saying, Kendall, we know you boxed before. Please go out and beat this guy for our culture. So, you know, that's part of it, you know. And also, I like to fight him because you went and got the NBA guy that had no fights. Mm-hmm. Why not come get the NBA guy that had fights? So, you know, let's see what happens. I hope it happens in the future. I hope his promoter is listening to this interview.
We'll send it to him.
Do you think there's any chance? I mean, based on your DMs with the trainer, do you think there's any chance Jake Paul will accept a fight from you?
I think there's a slight chance, because, you know, he may be forced to do it, you know, eventually, you know, but we got to back him in the corner in order for him to take it.
How much Ben Askren got?
His guarantee was $500,000, but his back end is probably huge because of the pay-per-view. So he's probably going to end up making $3-5 million for Saturday night.
My God. All right, Kendall. So
it's a
you
good
got,
reason for you to do it, too.
That helps, too. All right, so if you got Shaq in your back pocket, you have us, and we're the number one sports afternoon show in this town, Kendall. You know, so
all right.
we'll do what we can.
Damn straight.
What else can we do? Who else is involved in that thing? Should we reach out to Oscar De La Hoya? I don't know if he's in such good spirits.
I don't know. Oscar De La Hoya was behaving Saturday night, he may still be asleep right now.
Yeah, he was on one.
That was rough.
Yeah, that was really rough. And that's part of the reason why I turned it off too, guys. I just don't, you know, I love boxing so much, I don't want to see it desecrated like, you know, the guys were doing in that broadcast booth.
Man.
Yeah.
Man, I don't get it, man. I don't get the appeal then of what happened Saturday night. Like, why do you think that was so profitable and worked?
Well, because of all of the YouTube followers and people that follow Jake Paul, and also people that want to see Jake Paul lose. You know, there's a huge market for guys wanting you to lose, you know. And you look at Muhammad Ali in the early days, people paid to see him lose. And I think that a big source of the pay-per-view revenue is generated based off of that.
There's also like a really kind of a gross subset of boxing culture that's been about watching – you know, people who don't know how to fight, like bum fights and stuff like that, right? Like, there's this weird this weird spectator thing where we like to watch idiots fight, you know? It is kind of gross in that way, but I guess it's still profitable, kind of.
Yeah, it's still profitable. And it's still profitable. And, you know, guys love to see exactly what you're talking about. And it all comes from white collar boxing. You know, when guys have shows and they invite, you know, doctors, lawyers to fight each other. And that's where it was bred from. And now Jake Paul and his team have taken it to a whole different level.
So last thing from me on this, and we're talking to Kendall Gill. He wants to fight Jake Paul. Jake Paul's a YouTube star, and you're saying, I don't know who the hell that is. Well, he just generated over 2 million pay-per-view buys and about $70 million in revenue. And Kendall Gill is calling him out, and he's got the whole NBA world behind him. And Jake Paul is ducking 52-year-old. Don't call him 54. He's ducking Kendall Gill because Jake Paul is a coward. I said it. I would never step in the ring with him, but I said it. I guess how does this end? Like, you know what I mean? So you say he fights someone and it's legitimate and then he loses and at some point it will get to that point. But I guess I just don't get what the end game is. Is it just make as much money as possible for as long as he can keep the jig up? Is it that simple in your mind, Kendall?
As long as he can keep the jig up and make as much money as possible and generate as many followers as possible, because that's how he became famous. That's how he will stay famous. I mean, he will keep this up. But the minute that he loses, the circus will be over, and they know that, and that's why they pick guys that they know that they can beat.
Do you think Ben Askren took a dive for the payday? Because I've seen him on UFC cards. That dude can take a hit. He absolutely can take a hit. What do you think that was?
No, I don't think he took a dive. I think that he just got caught by a good shot, but he did get up, but the referee stopped the fight way too soon, in my opinion. He should have. I mean, Ben Askren's a four-time All-American wrestler. He was one of the best grapplers in the UFC. And, you know, he has come back. I don't know if you've ever seen his fight against Robbie Lawler, where he was taking punches with four-ounce gloves, and he actually came back to win that fight. And that's why I didn't like the stoppage, because you got to let a guy like that who has been through the wars, you got to let him either get in the fight and win it or go out on the shield. They didn't allow him to do that.
Kendall, I think you're too real, man. You're too real. You're too legit. I mean, Lamar Odom is going to be fighting Aaron Carter in June. I mean, like, this is – they're out for just the spectacle and the absurd circus of it. You might just be too real, Kendall.
Hey, thank you. You know, and I know Lamar is doing this too, but, you know, I've seen some videos of Lamar boxing, you know, and, you know, I just hope he doesn't get hurt in there. You know, it takes years and years and years to develop the skill level to get in the ring.
All right, Kendall. Well, listen, we hope it works out for you. I'll be very surprised if he takes you up on it. But you guys are doing a great job over at NBC Sports Chicago. We'll talk Bulls with you sometime in the future, all right?
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. Hey, look, tune into the pregame show tonight.
All right.
Yeah, we will. Celtics and Bulls, and they need to write the ship. And we could have done 20 minutes on the Bulls another time.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, guys.
Thank you. That's Kendall Gill this hour on the Score. Yeah, I know.
I missed the chance. I missed the chance to tell him, you know what Jake Paul is? He's a dead horse. That's what he would be. If you light a fire under him, he would turn into a dead horse.
It's true. You missed it. You came up with the joke after the 18-minute conversation.
I had so much time.
It's like trying to light a fire under a horse. We call it a dead horse. You know, it won't run.
It's true.
It's true.
Dead horses don't run.
That's a good point.
You should have mentioned that you're right. That's a missed opportunity by you.
Call him back. Call him back.
We should have done it. Yeah, man. That's weird.
Shane,
you watched?
Yeah, I watched.
Because you know Ray Flores very well.
Yeah.
Unbelievably talented, yeah. Local kid, rising up the fight
game.
One of the
best.
Like,
I mean, it, Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor took him on their world media tour, and he did everything for them. He's one of the best. I feel bad for Ray having to call that fight.
See, but
he and I have talked since, and he's into it. Like, he understands the entertainment aspect. He understands that it is, bad for the sport of boxing, and Ray is a boxing historian. He loves it like we love baseball, like Speaks loves baseball, but I feel bad for Ray.
What did Snoop say that everybody was going crazy about? Snoop.
I don't remember what if he said something controversial.
Oh, okay.
I think Kendall just doesn't like the fact that that was a clown show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, what Kendall brings up is the danger of the sport, and this kind of feels like you're minimizing the danger. But when you're not dealing with professional fighters, and these are just amateurs, I think the stakes are lower. And it's going to be harder to legitimately injure somebody if you're not using the force and the power that the pros do.
And Ben Askren is a professional fighter, but he's not a professional boxer. Like, that guy can take
a professional doughboy. You tell me that that guy, looking at that guy, was going to beat Jake Paul? Absolutely not.
I mean, if they would have been able to fight, he would have.
Yeah, see, Kendall mentioned Snoop's comments. I'm not sure what they were, but Snoop is one of the owners of Triller Fight Club, of this thing, and he's performed at the event individually and collectively with his Mount Westmore super group. Man, so Ice Cube, Too Short, E-40, and Snoop Dogg all together at this thing? Tanny, did you tape it? You gonna break it down for us? See what the beats are like.
The beats. What are we talking about that happened on the weekend?
The White Sox took two for Fenway.
Was your mean Fenway. Mercedes there? I mean, that's
dude. I felt so lost. I thought it was Logan Paul the whole time, and I barely know who that is. But now there's this other guy. It's just, dude. I don't know.
The Paul brothers are horrible, horrible people, both of them. I can't remember which one went and shot a YouTube video in a Japanese suicide forest and stuff. They're horrible, horrible people, and I want them both to rot. But there was no way that Jake Paul was losing that fight.
$70 million in revenue.
It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Like, what? We are a country of idiots. Maybe a world of idiots. Pay-per-view, probably global.
I think that's how that works.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, you can probably buy that fight anywhere.
Yeah, it's insane. Anywhere you want.
Absolutely insane. I call them idiots, but then again, I believe Matt Spiegel.
Yes.
I posit to you that we are about, as a sports collective, to undergo the most pathetic watch and event to track maybe in the history of this great city. I will lay out my case for you next on The Score.
What's going on with the Chicago Bulls?
It's an excellent question. We are Parkinson Spiegel on The Score. And Spiegs, you've been in this town doing radio, talking sports, connecting with the Chicago sports fan for a long, long time. You've seen a lot of good teams, a lot of bad teams, right? You were here when there was a race and you were watching the standings for the Derrick Rose Bulls on whether or not they were going to be the one seed.
Absolutely. I was here producing in the 90s as the Bulls were making a charge for 70 wins to break the 69-win record. So, I mean, that's nice. The apex of this kind of thing.
Yeah, right. So the idea, basically, my premise is we are potentially, if people get into this sort of thing, about to be, in terms of watching the standings, maybe tracking the most sad and pathetic standings watch that has happened. Because there have been some sad ones. I mean, just last year, remember we were, during the Bears season, we would be mocking the In the Hunt graphic that would still show, like, oh, the 5-6 Bears are technically in the hunt. And it's like, oh, okay, well, yeah, technically they expanded the playoffs to 7 teams, make it from each league and each conference, and they made the playoffs at 8-8. All right, that's pretty pathetic. But we tracked it. The Bulls right now are technically the 11 seed in the Eastern Conference. The NBA playoffs, for the uninitiated, now have a play-in series of games where whoever finishes 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th in the East and West have to play to get in. The first game is a win and you're in. Then if you lose, you get to play again, and if you win that game, you're in for the higher seats.
So this is I think I see where you're going, because it's not just 8 teams. It's not just the 8th seed right here.
We are going, but so right now, okay,
trailing the Raptors, right? Because it's the Wizards and the Raptors, and frankly, Danny, I think the Wizards are much more of a threat here, because the Raptors are sitting people down for fake reasons just about every single night.
The Bulls would miss the playoffs if it ended today at 23-33. So we are tracking the standings for an NBA team the playoffs that are 10 games below 500, tied with Washington for 11th, percentage points behind the aforementioned Raptors, who are also 10 games under 500, but they're 24-34. And Indiana, the Pacers, have a firm grasp on the 9th seed at 26-30. So these are just putrid teams that do not even sniff 500, that in any other season in the history of the NBA would not be making the playoffs. And to add the cherry on top of the sundae, if they do miss the playoffs or the play-in series and they do end up in the lottery, the Bulls do not even own their lottery pick. So the draft pick where they would slot unless they win the lottery and end up in the top four isn't even theirs. So I'm wondering, the race for the 10 seed, do we have Big Voice Guy on it? We track everything at this station, and this is a very unique Chicago sports situation.
Now, very often, if a team is going for the 8 seed, you know, I don't think that they're competing with tankers. You know, I don't think they're competing with tankers at that point for 8, 9, and maybe even 10. Here at 10, 11, and 12.
It's weird.
The Bulls are competing with a tanker. I mean, seriously, the Raptors are not interested in picking up wins, no matter how many jerseys are going to the Raptors, frankly.
But I mean, at this point, so you just back into wins, right? It's the NBA. It can happen on a given night. We're not talking about good teams here. And the Bulls obviously made win-now trades at the deadline. Then Zach LaVine's been out on the injury protocol and all the whole thing. But, like, I was thinking, I'm still watching these Bulls games, and I still care.
Even though Zach is going to miss, 10 to 14 days?
Games? And they've got these games stacked up so close to each other. They basically are playing every other night. Yeah. So you miss 14 days, you're going to miss 6 or 7 games. And I was just thinking, this is...
That's pretty pathetic.
It really is. Do people even care?
Because here's the thing. If it's a full-on tank...
Well, the Bulls are not doing that, though.
No, I know. But, I mean, we've tracked things like this before that have felt pathetic, but we've come around to accepting it, where I go to tankathon.com and I'm simulating the lottery to see if they'll get the top... I mean, those kind of things. Or a baseball team. We've watched multiple seasons on both sides of town over the last decade where we're like, maybe they can suck so hard they'll get Mark Appel. Or Brady Aiken, or Rodon.
That's nowhere near as pathetic as this.
It isn't.
Because there's a legitimate thing at the end of it.
Suck for luck.
Of course.
We've seen all those kind of things.
I've advocated for it. I beat the drum for it, of course, man. That's part of a way to a rebuild here. If the Bulls miss the playoffs and end up in the lottery, I will be watching the draft lottery like everybody, hoping that they hit their 0.9% to end up with Cade Cunningham or whatever it ends up being. I will, of course, get excited about talking myself into maybe they'll get lucky with Derrick Rose. But this is it's a newly created 2-game.
Yeah.
It's a newer type of situation.
Let me see if I can give you one. I believe a few years ago, didn't Northwestern make the CBI, which is the College Basketball Invitational? That's the third tournament. It's not the NCAA. It's not the NIT. It's the CBI. When you're watching and tracking the bracket of the CBI, and there's another one. There's 4 of them.
Right.
But who does that? Well, I mean,
who tracked the bracket for the CBI?
I did. I did. I forget who got in, but a few years ago, maybe it was, I don't know whether it was Loyola or it was a very low.
I was not a part of that show.
No, high school.
I don't think I could have stood for that.
Yeah. That's pretty bad when you're tracking the bracket for the CBI.
Because it's weird though, because people say, making the playoffs is not in the Bulls' interest. No, it is. Because of how the lottery odds are stacked now, if they've got the 14th best chance to win the lottery and it's less than 1% or whatever it is, well, then sure, I'd love it for them to win the lottery, but the overwhelming likelihood is they won't, and then that pick will go to Orlando, and then Zach LaVine and Vucevic and Kobe White and Patrick Williams, they don't get playoff experience. So I want the Bulls, once they made the trades that they did, you of course want the Bulls to make the playoffs because those are win-now types of trades. Not win a championship now, but play meaningful basketball. So
sure.
I absolutely want the Bulls to be in the play-in series of games, and then I want them to win them so that they play Philly or Milwaukee or the Nets or whoever ends up atop the Eastern Conference so that they can lose that series but at least get the experience. Because once they made the trades, why the hell not?
This is adorable that you're pretending that you're tracking this for logical reasons and like real thoughtful sports reasons.
Yeah,
you bet how much? You bet how much on the Bulls making the playoffs?
Enough.
And if they get in as the 10 seed, does that qualify, or do they have to win their bracket?
No, they have to get into the top eight. You got to get into. You got to make the top eight, and so the ship has long since sailed of them being a top six seed to like actually make the playoffs without it. But so yeah, they
you need them to get in via the 10 seed or the 9 seed or whatever, and then play their way in so you can cash that ticket.
I would like to win that $500. Yes, I would, but regardless, I'll be Is that a slight motivating factor for this segment?
Regardless.
Yeah.
You know, those windows don't caulk themselves in. You know, that basement.
Danny,
that,
do you know what caulk is?
Learned about it. Learned about it recently.
Okay.
I think I'm probably wrong for using that as what happens to windows, right? They don't use caulk for windows, Shane? Or
guy caulked
enough?
Around a vent at the house that needed to be able to be open to access a filter because you got to change your filter. We got a furnace in the attic.
That was one of the questions in your homeowner quiz.
That's right. There's a furnace in the basement. There's a furnace in the attic. I got two of them, buddy.
How was his caulk gun? A big caulk gun?
I didn't see it happen. I just saw the after effects, and I'm like, you're going to have to undo the caulking.
Oh. You want that caulk. Here it is.
So yeah. I don't know why we're talking about caulk. But
you brought it up, I think.
Yeah, no, I brought it up because $500. $500.
Yeah,
that I love the way.
Just in time for Christmas, wrap a piece of cork and put it under the tree.
That's an awesome pronunciation of cork.
It really is good.
Hey, by the way, anybody know how to pronounce the Chicago street that is spelled Goethe? Goethe.
Goethe.
No, I believe it's Goethe. Based on the German philosopher. I believe the correct pronunciation is Goethe. And I was saying it in the car, and my wife got so annoyed at me saying Goethe that she doesn't even care whether it's right or not. She just demanded that I stop saying Goethe, which is really fun to say, kind of like cork.
Hey, I'm with Christine on this one.
Yeah, me too.
Enough.
Yeah. So just to recap what just happened here.
Yeah.
You said something.
Uh-huh.
That annoyed your audience of one so yes. much that you chose to bring it up to your audience of tens of thousands.
I did.
Yeah,
I
okay.
did. And I just checked it. Correct pronunciation, Goethe. So it's with the R in there. But I like to say Goethe because I think it's more culturally sensitive, which, as you know,
you care
I'm all about. I'm
probably
all
a good
about.
Time to bring Fula Borg back on, huh?
Yeah.
We'll ask him. It's a great call. We'll ask him two questions. One, how do you pronounce Goethe? And two, why did you kill my people? Like, we'll go with those two.
What is he, Bill Fichtner? Just like any excuse to get Lula Borg on, we're calling him. Can we get those two on together?
Bill Wennington wasn't enough for you?
That was enough. That was great.
You blew his mind with Bill Wennington. That was awesome. You know he needs Judd Bushra in order for it to really pay off.
Texter saying, yeah, Loyola won the CBI in 2015.
There it is. That's when I was doing it. I was tracking the CBI, Danny. Somebody had to do it.
Danny,
man.
Haven't you always said that Chicago doesn't deserve you during the CBI tournament?
It's true.
That's why you take so much time off.
It's a long-standing opinion of mine, and I think, frankly, the ratings will pour that out. man, the disaster that is the Cubs. I'm enjoying ignoring it. We'll get back to that at 5 o'clock. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Blue Jay fans are paying $55 for the cork.
You kind of had a Fernando Rodney look to you with the hat that turned a little bit. Is this about, you know, kind of his style? And because you look very similar to him.
You know, it's like Dominican style because all Dominican players are using the hat like that. But, nah, just putting my hat like that because I like using it. I don't use a lot in the game because when I'm catching, I don't use the hat. When I DH, so I don't use hat too. But when we practice doing stuff in the field, I just wear it in my hat like that. I like it.
Oh, man. That's fantastic. So that is Bruce Levine asking your mean Mercedes, who got into the game to pitch in mop-up duty, if he wears his hat like that as a tribute to Fernando Rodney.
You know that?
We did not know that, Yermin. And his answer was, no, that's how I wear my hat, but you don't normally get to see me in a hat because I'm usually catching or being a DH. That is fantastic.
That's factually correct.
It
as
is.
Well. The man is not allowed to play in the field these days, although Jake Lamb is given a start out in left field, his first ever appearance in the outfield for Jake Lamb yesterday. But Yermin is a joy. And he said,
you know,
he had
it's like Dominican style.
Dominican style, yeah.
He had more in the tank, too. Yermin said he could throw a lot harder than what he did. And he held back on the advice of Tony La Russa.
If we practice a couple times, the reason I don't throw a lot of hard today is the same thing, because I don't want throwing like a couple of days because the snow on the raining days, we don't get out, just sit in the cage. Maybe I can throw 90, 94, 93.
I love this guy.
How do you not love him? Oh, that's amazing.
He's the greatest. Maybe I could throw 94 or 93.
Now, let's just hope he doesn't get burned out by having to do all this media. Let's hope that he stays fun, Yermin.
I think that's who he is, Shane. Did you guys hear Layla and Bernsey were talking about this today? That, and I think it was an article about Yermin's independent league days, and it was somebody who had roomed with him on one of his independent league teams and was talking about why he was so misunderstood, that some of it was a language barrier, that some of it was not realizing the personality, that the dude was just so funny and so happy and so effervescent that people read that the wrong way. It's a guy who was his roommate on those teams. Just like he knew that people were not understanding truly what he was. He's just... This is who he is. This is the personality, and it helps him. It helps him be who he is.
That home run to left center that was measured outrageous. At like 4:30. I haven't talked to Benetti about it, but it felt like that was one that, because he wasn't in the stadium and he was watching it off the monitor,
couldn't believe it.
He didn't really. It was tougher to see. He smoked it. Like, he kind of called that homer like there was some doubt as to whether or not that thing was going out. And he's like a cartoon character out there, man. It doesn't even make sense. He's so much damn fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, a lot of these broadcasters, they can have some trouble doing it off the monitors, and I understand it. And not every ballpark is the same. Not every crew will do the switch from that center field angle on the pitch to then follow the ball or follow the outfielders. And it's just such a different world. They're used to watching the fielders and reading it off of that. And that's how you quickly get into the groove of calling the action, is you see where the ball's going by how the fielders are reacting and where they're going. So they don't have that opportunity with the monitors. Thankfully, me on Sunday for that fifth inning, I will have the game in front of me this coming Sunday. I cannot wait. I was listening on Saturday. I know you said you were listening on Saturday as well, or was it Sunday?
I took multiple trips to the house both days. I heard a ton of Cubs and Sox, if I'm being honest, on the radio this weekend.
Yeah,
I heard
so,
a lot of it.
So did you hear Zach Zaidman's fifth inning on Saturday was full of home runs, was full of offense and intrigue. I bet he made quick pitch on Saturday night. Baby,
this guy with quick pitch.
Yeah,
he's so concerned about making
the
quick pitch.
That's
when you made it.
That's when you know.
Okay,
that's when it's real. It's absolutely correct.
So more excited now than nervous?
Absolutely.
Good.
Way more excited than nervous.
Good.
Having the nephew over and doing like three innings last week and reacclimating, and then I listened to our pregame and postgame show. Shane sent me the commercial log so I could put the paperwork side by side with the broadcast, listen, and make sure I got that part of it down. It's super excited for Sunday.
Can't wait. Fifth inning, Sunday. Home mob will be representing. We're going to be listening.
There's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
Just make sure your mic's off, man.
Yeah, what could go wrong? What could go wrong? That's
Paul Zerang tends to sabotage, is what I'm told.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Reminder, don't talk about certain cities and what kind of capitals they are in any way, shape, or form.
The joke was already made.
Yeah, not even state capitals. We don't need any of that, okay?
You know, Topeka is the... yeah, no, just don't even go
there. Yeah, don't even go there. Maybe don't even go
Mount
there.
Mount Pelier.
During the broadcast.
You know, I'll tell you what, Fargo is the, just leave it alone.
Speaking of iPads, the Cubs season could be over, kind of, at a sooner date than any of us expected. It's next on The Score.
Speaking of windows, I'm assuming you're a Steeler fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.